Now on Life Matters, we're going to talk about one of life's fundamentals, something we all look for, something we all need. If it's missing in your life, you've got problems. I'm talking about love. But given the rate of relationship breakdown, obviously many of us can get it wrong. Today we're starting a new short series of conversations with the straight-talking Dr. Gordon Livingston. Many of you will remember his recipe for happiness, someone to love, something to do, something to look forward to. His book, Too Soon Old, and Too Late Smart, was an international bestseller. Now he's turned his mind to love in a new book called How to Love. Gordon Livingston joins me now. Welcome back.
Oh, thank you, Richard. It's nice to be here.
Our listeners will remember how refreshingly unsentimental you are. Forget love at first sight, you say.
Yes, I think love takes some time to develop, and that this mythology about this instant chemistry between two people is more in the area of fiction than nonfiction.
So, friendship first.
Exactly, and I think that's one of the things that we choose people to love from among our friends. But I definitely think that building a friendship precedes enduring love.
All right. And should we be, evaluating your potential partner's behavior?
Yes, I think so. And this, again, conflicts with the idea that this is some mysterious chemical process. I mean, I think it is possible to define love. My definition is that we love someone when the importance of his or her needs and desires rises to the level of our own. And for that to occur, I think we need to use our minds as well as our hearts in distinguishing those personality characteristics that tend to wear well over time.
Okay, well, what should we be looking for then?
Well, we should look for, and at the same time that we're trying to develop these traits in ourselves, we should look for, I think, kindness, first of all. I think that's the premier virtue and the indispensable virtue from which all the others flow. But things like honesty and tolerance and as resilience, as you were just discussing with your previous guest, are important qualities. And the point is that these qualities of character are distinguishable in people early in their lives and are relatively stable over time. So I think even though most of these big decisions about who we're going to marry take place when we're in our 20s, nevertheless, we ought to, if we know what we're looking for, we ought to be able to distinguish them then.
Of course, some people have got great big signs, the equivalent of great big signs on them that say avoid. But many people do not, most people don't. How do we recognize those who will ultimately disappoint us?
Well, I think the people, and the book is, as you know, divided into three parts: people to avoid, people to cherish, and then this whole question about how we distinguish between the two. And I think that the people to avoid fall into the general, many of them fall into the general category of self-absorption. That is, that if that is a distinguishing characteristic of someone. Then we're going to have a hard time loving them and being loved by them over time. I mean, there are other things that complicate relationships, of course, like chronic depression or anxiety or a special category that I've labeled fools.
Yes, I love that category. I really believe in the category of fools. And one of my definitions of fools are people have no idea of how wrong they are about something.
Yes, exactly. Who are contemptuous of the scientific method, or who believe in fantastical things. Who are devoted to the idea of extraterrestrials, or who have strange political and exclusionary political beliefs. I mean, these are all people who I think are foolish, and if we meet one of them, we definitely are. Don't want to share our lives with them.
Yes, I sometimes feel when I go to parties I have special fool attractant. that pulls them towards me. That the other, you do identify several groups to avoid: narcissists. Now, I think that's very good advice.
Yeah, the self-absorbed category contains the narcissists. It contains the people who are so-called histrionic people, that is, who are very superficial and unable to experience the world deeply. And of course, the most dangerous group are the sociopaths, the people who are without a conscience and without empathy for others, and the borderline category of people who are very changeable and subject to anger. And so, I think that all of these characteristics have been investigated in the clinical sense, so that people with these personality disorders are put in certain categories. But I think we can also identify the less extreme cases and avoid those people who simply don't have room for us in their lives.
Well, I mean, you described the many personalities and behaviors to look out for. Sort of depressive types and sociopaths and needy types and erratic people and passive aggressives and dependents and perfectionists.
Yes.
And look, if you live in the eastern suburbs of Sydney, that only leaves perhaps 20 people who...
Well, you may be right, but it's worth waiting for that person that doesn't have those characteristics, because they are not going to be happy people to share your life with.
But unless, I mean, you are an expert. You've spent a lifetime thinking about this. Most people will find some of these pretty hard to pick.
Yes, exactly. Especially people who are narcissistic, who kind of exude self-confidence and who tend to be glib and so it is hard to discern some of them. And that's the reason I think that this subject of learning how to evaluate people ought to be taught at the high school level. And I've had one teacher here actually in Montana who's taken my earlier book and sort of made a curriculum out of it to try to teach people about dangerous people to link their lives to. So I just wish that while we're teaching algebra and history, we could also include a course on human behavior, and particularly people to avoid and people to cherish.
One of my favorite sayings about why marriages go wrong is that women always think that the man will change, and men always think that the woman won't.
That's pretty good, and I think it is true, because I think that a lot of people, and maybe especially women, imagine that the person they're with is going to change in some fundamental way as a result of their loving him, and that is a goal seldom realized, and people traditionally will overlook things like this person. Yeah, I know this person drinks a lot, but certainly once they're married and particularly if we have children, they'll definitely settle down. I mean, that's a prescription for disaster. So that I do think that people have these fantasies
about what
their love can do.
It's a rescue fantasy, isn't it?
It is. It's very dangerous and causes a lot of later disillusionment. And you hear it frequently from people as the wedding date approaches. They have misgivings, and they're assured by everyone, "Well, this is just cold feet." I'm used to hearing couples later talk about a wish that they had paid more attention to those misgivings.
But we do change over our lives.
Yes,
and we
do
can
change. But it's remarkable how little our basic character changes. So that's in some ways kind of the point of the book, that while we, while I certainly believe in change, that's a part of psychotherapy, is the expectation that people can change. But to change your fundamental character, to go from being self-absorbed to empathetic, that doesn't happen very often between the ages of 16 and 50. So I think that while there are, people can become less anxious. I mean, there are medications that can help relieve people of depression. But if you're talking about fundamental character traits, they're pretty well set by late adolescence.
We'll talk more about this in the next couple of weeks. But the fundamental starting point, Gordon, in your book, is actually becoming the person that you long to love.
Yes, exactly. First deserve, then desire. So that trying to cultivate these admirable traits in ourselves is definitely the first step. It's like, you know, the old joke about someone waiting for the perfect mate, but when they found her, they found that she was waiting for the perfect mate, and they weren't ready. So it's a really I think you do. You're absolutely right. You do have to cultivate these traits in oneself before you're ready for a good relationship with someone else.
All right. Well, I look forward to going into the more positive side later on, and I'll catch up with you next week. Thank you very much, Gordon.
Yeah, thank you, Richard.
That's Dr. Gordon Livingston, Gordon's a psychiatrist, decades of experience, actually, and his new book is called How to Love. It's published by Hachette. This is Life Matters with me, Richard Ady, and you're on ABC Radio National.